How many know whatever we ask the Lord?
Yeah.
In faith.
Yeah.
The Bible says that He will give it to us.
Yeah.
I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is again that God has blessed us to come together and to worship Him. And I'm before you with a message that I am excited about. I think I'm excited about all of them. But this can be a life-changing message. Amen. My favorite word is reciprocity. Say that with me, reciprocity. Reciprocity says normally what you put into a thing is what you get out of it.
Alright.
I got a church.
Amen.
How many know, you put a lot into a relationship. Whether you get it or not, you expect something in return. Amen.
Amen.
I want to talk with you, and as you stand to your feet, we're going to read the verse of focus as a family. I want to talk with you on a topic. I get my topic first. What is the church good for? What is the church good for? You know, when people come here seeking something, we the church ought to be able to deliver. Have I got a witness? There's sick folk out there that are sick in their bodies, sick in their minds, they're emotionally distressed and distraught, and they come to the church seeking to get better.
Amen.
Because most know that a church is not where everybody has it together.
Amen.
I'm just going to preach to a few folk that's like me, struggling.
Amen.
I got everybody struggling today. I want to talk to a few struggling folk because that all y'all who got it together, this ain't for y'all. But for a few of us who seem up there to take one step forward, and then we get pushed back 3 steps, come on, come on. I want to talk to y'all just for a little while about what is the church good for. Lord have mercy. The scripture has been read, and I want to paint the picture. And don't let me forget you, I'm going to do my announcements after, but I'm just excited about the word.
All right.
And I just want to get to preaching this thing. I want to make sure God gave me a package and I got to deliver it, all right? So don't let me forget, I got some announcements, but it's going to have to come after this word.
Amen.
Is that all right? Now, I must paint the picture. They have been on the mountain of transfiguration. Jesus has been talking to Moses and Elijah. This was a magnificent moment. His countenance changed, and a voice came down from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Now, I don't know about you, but I love going to church because I love seeing the brothers and the sisters, but I get something when I come to church. You know, some Sundays are better than others. Some Sundays, I get to be on the mountaintop just for a little while. If I'm not the only one in here. And when you're on the mountaintop, how many know you don't want to come back down? Because when you come back down, that's where the work is. That's where the means are gone. Y'all can't come back. That's where you got to go back to your job. And they're coming back down now to some confusion. They're arguing one with another. The scribes are there, and they're arguing with the disciples. The disciples are arguing amongst their own selves. Because this man brought his son, and he was sick with the demonic spirit. You would think that if you're going to get some help from somewhere, you could get some help from the church. But what is the church good for? If people come here and we're arguing, bickering, and fighting, what good is the church? All that person, we struggle in the power that belongs to God. verse 18. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to read it together. Amen?
Amen.
If you have the King James Version, let me first read it. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. This man is talking about his son. What this man's son is going through. What this demonic spirit. He says, whatsoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gasses with his teeth. And pineth away. Y'all don't know what pining is. He rocks back and forth. Not in his own sane mind. Lord have mercy. And I spake to your disciples that they should cast him out. This is what we're going to focus on. And they could not. Not a sadder proclamation in the New Testament than this right here. Come to the church expecting help. Come to the church expecting to leave better than when you got there. But the church could not. What good is the church for?
All
right. If we can't heal some people.
All right.
If some folks can't get delivered from what they're dealing with. If some folks can't get encouraged.
Come on,
man. To go on a little while longer. We're going to read it together. Mark chapter 9. 1, 2, 3, read. And wherever he taketh him, he turneth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out. And they could not. Pray with me again on a topic. What is the church doing it for? Our God and our Father, we stand there before a few preachable moments, nothing happens, but you speak. Speak now through your preaching. Father, despite myself, in spite of my shortcomings, help me deliver this word with the fluidity and the power and potency that your word warrants in its entirety. Where I fall short, if I fall short, let your Holy Spirit make up the difference that this word will be delivered in its completeness. Now, God, open up hearts and minds and ears that we might not only hear the word, but heed the word.
Amen.
For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Say with me, amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may take your seats. What is the church good for? We all would love to stay on the mountaintop and enjoy a church, but somebody like me got to go to the job tomorrow. We got to meet Mr. Bobo. We got to go do some things that we won't not do to do. We don't, I don't know about you, but some of us aren't working because we love it. We're working to get paid. Come on, somebody. And you need some joy to get the job done. And I got a witness. I don't know about you, but church is where I come to get my joy refreshed.
Yeah.
Church is where I come to get my strength increased. Church is where I come to get my shout on. And I got a witness. Yeah. Who do you think I'm shouting because of what he's done? I'm shouting because of what he's going to do. Something for me that I can't do for myself. These disciples were bickering among themselves.
Well,
this man had brought this boy that had this demonic spirit, and they were looking to the church for help. Many people come to the church for many different reasons, but for the most part, what the Sabbath is. that is spread abroad is that all church folk got it together. All church folk don't need him. But we're trying to change the paradigm to exist in such a fashion that it tells the truth. If the truth be known, it's sick folk at the church.
Amen.
It's folk hurting at the church.
Amen.
It is folk who are upset, mad, lying, dumb at the church.
Wow.
It's some proud folk at the church that don't want you to know that they ain't got it all together. That's why they sit up once so dignified. Won't try to smile, won't shout. Why? Because they ain't got nothing to shout about. You folk know that I ain't got it all together.
Well,
I struggle in the midnight hour. Sometimes I struggle in the noonday. Sometimes it's a struggle just for me to get up out of bed. Why? Because I know that I'm ill-equipped to face what the day holds. I want to talk to a few folk that know that the church is a place that we go to refresh ourselves, to gain strength from a journey. It is a place where I go to also release my frustration. Come on, somebody. I want you to start to stop shouting at each other and start shouting to the Lord. Come on, y'all. I heard that in my spirit. I don't shout. You shout at folk when you don't treat them right. You should shout at folk when you look at them strange. You shout at folk when you shun at them and you try to punish them for something that they did and something they said. But the Bible says that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Man brought his son to church looking for assistance. He had heard what Jesus could do. And he said, if he'd done it for them, maybe you'll do it for my son.
Well,
notice here in the scripture, he was describing what the boy goes through when the demonic spirit would take over. We don't know exactly what it was, but it could have been epilepsy. It could have been something that made him lose his sanity. But the boy was suffering. I want you to look and see how the devil works. The devil wants us, this is my first point, wants us to lose focus of why we are the church. We are the church because it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Can I say right here, we teach folk the wrong thing sometimes.
Amen.
We teach them how to argue. We teach them how to prove your point and get your point across. We teach them how to not show love and how to be angry with one another. I ain't gonna get no help in here. Folk come to the church looking for something. We give them the wrong thing to look at. I'm talking to the one now that come to church and you get that scowl on your face. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to the one there, son, you may not have a scowl, but you sure ain't got no smile. I heard that in my spirit, but I got a smile about it. He woke you up this morning. Started you on your way.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but if you had time, you had some food on your table. Because I got my witness. You had to go to the closet and decide what to put on. Church people can't come here and get something for the journey. This man brought his son and was telling them, and he thought that the disciples could heal. He thought that the spiritual leaders could do it, and they could not. But notice, first of all, what the man does. After he brings them to the disciples and they fail, the man does not not give up. He could have went home. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Friend, the boy did not get well immediately. He could have took his boy and said, you know, where the church ain't what I thought it was.
Amen.
But I'm so glad that when people are about to give up, Jesus will come down. Jesus comes down from the mountain and said, what is all this confusion?
Well,
and this man becomes a tattletale. Well, I wrote my son to go to because he was sick. And he's still sick, Jesus. I thought they were him. Even when Jesus was in the personhood or incarnate, body or in the flesh. When people talked to him, they were still praying to him.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
Prayers are offered to a superior being. Jesus was God in the flesh. So when this man started talking to the Lord, that man started praying to him. Look at somebody and say, you better start praying.
Yeah,
so some of us are talking to somebody now. You don't pray like you used to. You used to be fervent in prayer. You used to be consistent in prayer. Now you pray when you think about it. Now I'm talking to somebody. I'm going to stay right here for a little while. You pray now only when you get in trouble. When everything is going fine, you don't have time for the Lord. All the time we pray is when you eat, and we can't understand you even then. And if you give God a favor, I'm saying favor, what I'm saying. Give you a restaurant on him, bow your head. Pray with your eyes open. Bye-bye. why I said you gotta believe a little bit.
You
gotta have the faith the size at least. Come on.
All right now.
I mean, we gotta give the Holy Spirit something to work with. He said, help my unbelief. Lord have mercy. Man was, he was honest. He says, not that I don't believe, but help my unbelief. And we know that this boy went home healed. Why? Because first of all, the man got to the right person. He got to Jesus. I would love to pray for you, but you can pray for yourself. Had somebody come to me at work and said, I want you to come and bless my eyes. I said, what's wrong with your prayers? And he said, I don't want to come to your house. But we serve a God that accepts everybody. I told him, what you need to do to go get your wife? You can, I still come if you want to, but you need to go and bless your own house. Because he receives and he accepts your prayer just like he will mine. The only thing that hinders prayer is sin. You said it, it might, you don't even know about it. I'm going to say that again. If you are living in sin, or it's in a sense of shame, and nobody, I don't care, all the prayers in the world, is not going to do anything to help you. You got to at least be trying to live right. Now, hold somebody.
Amen.
You want me to say that a little while? You got to at least be trying to live. Looks like you got to be trying to live right. You got to be trying to live right. Don't mean that you're dotting every I and you're crossing every T, but you are at least right from there. You can't even cross when ain't there. You can't die. You got to at least be trying to live right. Lord have mercy. There's a difference in slipping in the sand and falling in the sand. When I slipped, it caught me unaware. But when I was falling, I could have had time to pray. Yes, you do have time to pray. Don't say that. Think about Peter walking on the water. He was one line, walking on the water, coming to Jesus. We heard this about too long ago, right? Well, when you turn your eyes off the Lord. The Bible said he began to sink. What I'm telling you, you don't fall like that. I'm going to say it again. You do not fall just like that. There are steps leading up to failure. There are steps leading up to the fall. Go back and look at the book of Genesis. The fall just didn't happen like that. See, you had to see the truth. You had to think that the truth was good for that. That's a process. It's a process in failure. And that's like it's a process in success. And then you had to reach. They had to grab that. You just don't fall like that. Somebody said, you got to be trying. I want to leave you with this right here. And this is where I'm really losing for. I want you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. Book of Ecclesiastes. Going to do a little bit different here. Many of us are in a rut. We go to church. We go to work. Go home. We go back to work. Back home. Back to work. Back home. Back to work. Back home. Back to work. If you have a job, you are a slave between the hours of 9 and 5. I'm looking at somebody. If your hours are different, doesn't matter. Because between 9 and 5, 7 or 3, 3 or 10, 10 or 7, you can't do what you need to do. You got to do what you're told to do. I want to talk to a few people who might be tired of just a check for it. I want to talk to a few people that fly living from paycheck to paycheck. We told you that and our sermonic messages have been revolving around everything for your destiny, everything for your success, everything for your greatness has been put inside of you. Somebody say it's trapped.
Trapped.
It's trapped. Let me tell you what's trapped inside of you. Trapped inside of you is a gift. It's trapped. It wants to get out. Some of you aren't even thinking about it. Those are the gifts that deeply ingrained inside of your soul, and you will always continue to be what you've always been. I want to talk to a few people that's ready to break the mold. Everything for success and greatness has been put inside of you. Somebody says inside of me. Why don't even go as far as to say that? Your gifts will make room for you. You don't understand that. What it means is, in this world of crowdedness, your gift is so great, it will push things aside.
Amen.
It will make room for you. When nobody else will give you room, it will make room for you. But you can't discover it in 8 hours. Why? Because you're a slave. Because you're working for the man. I'm going to take this little time for this. And then what do you do when you get off? I'm talking to somebody. Harry, next week we're going to say 5 o'clock. Everybody gets off. We get off at different times. And then for some of us, we start another trial. Because we've got to catch up. So everything has symptoms around supper time. So if you have a good wife like me, you might get a chance to rest. But for the one preparing it, they go from one job to another job. I'm always somewhere with this. Don't let me lose you. The gift is still there. It's still locked up inside. You don't even know what it is. I've come to let somebody know in order for you to discover your problem. Remember, I told you, your greatness is in the problem that you solve. And you can't solve your problem until you know your gift. And you can't discover your gift until you take time. I don't mean you find time. Take time to look for it. We sleep, on average, 2 days a week. Out of 7 days, we are sweet and dormant and idle for 2 days. 2 solid days. I heard that, I'm going to prove it to you. If we get 8 hours of sleep, do the math. 7 days a week. 7 times 8 is what?
56.
56. 56 hours divided by 24 is what? We got anybody here? You get through looking at You look at how other people live fictitious lives. And for your sports fans, how many times did Pittsburgh Steelers send you a check? But I'm gonna buy their uniform, give them some more money. I'm gonna buy that hat.
You crazy.
I'm gonna have two or three televisions where I can look at them at the same time. I put in hour upon hour of looking at television and I get absolutely nothing from it. God told me to tell you the reason that the church has become good for nothing is because we're not seeking His face. God is after those who diligently seek after Him. So, this is a challenge. Next week, and I'm just saying for an hour, turn the TV off. Amen. Turn it off. That's why I say turn it off. And for one solid hour, I want you to think about the sermon. That on the inside of you, God, through the Holy Spirit, has placed a gift that determines your destiny. You don't need to bother to look for it. You don't need to bother to ask Him to help you find it. I want you to go into meditation for one solid hour. Let me tell you something. Those of you who ain't good meditators, God is a God of order. Your life is in disarray. Your house is tore up from the floor. That's when somebody come over, they need to go stand.
Become disciplined enough to discover what God has put on the inside of us.
again, verse 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand. Because the Bible says, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike and good. What it's saying here, just because I'm off from work isn't a time for me to become idle. It's a time now that I'm free to be more like the Lord, to seek His face and go to Him in prayer, to seek Him through meditation, to ask Him to help me discover my gifts, to clean up my surroundings so that I can personify organization and order, because I serve a God of order. I tell you, the only difference between a forest and a garden is one is kept. Some of us live in the wilderness. Oh, you missed that. No, this ain't for everybody. Somebody's going to take this to heart for 1 hour next week. They're going to make their lives different. Give God a hand clap for you. What good is the church for if the people come here and they can't get delivered? If they come here and they can't get healed? If they come here and can't get and be encouraged? We lose focus. Bickering among ourselves, power struggles, trying to be what we're not. But we are hostile. We send Christian